Welcome, you're the Vox from The Vox Show. It's Monday night, July 16th, 2007. So it's good to be back with you guys tonight. It's the waxing moon, but unfortunately, about 5 minutes ago, it went void, of course. So if you have any problems getting into the show or your life is collapsing all of a sudden in the last 5 minutes, don't worry about it. Anyway, give me a call tonight at 323-284-5166. Hopefully later on in the show we're going to have a special guest from the new movie, Abbey of Thelema, friend Vincent Jennings, a fellow Thelemite, who's been working on a new film about, obviously, the Abbey of Thelema and Crowley's years in the early 20s when he was hanging out, dropping drugs, banging everything in sight, and getting kicked out of the country by Mussolini. So that'll be kind of fun. There's a new trailer for it on YouTube, so you might want to check it out, The Abbey of Thelema. So anyway, give me a call, 323-284-5166. And it's been kind of a weird week, I don't know. It was supposed to get better after Mercury went direct, but there's all kinds of weird, you know, unended, bizarre situations going on. I wonder what kind of day you guys had on Friday the 13th. That would always be interesting to find out. Because we just had one this last Friday. And it was kind of a weird thing. I usually think that they're pretty lucky. I have a lot of fun on that particular day. But I guess other people didn't have as much fun. So let me know what your stories are on that. Also, too, if you have questions and stuff that you would like me to answer during the week, during my show, you can always join the forum at vox.org/forum. Go in there and submit your questions or topics under the Ask Vox section. So that'd be pretty cool. So we got the waxing moon, like I said, it's getting ready, actually just went void, of course, so things that you were planning on doing may kind of fall through the cracks all of a sudden. So that's one thing that's going on. And thanks to everybody who wrote saying how much they enjoyed last week's show with my friend Frater Hierophantus, the insane little Taurus tarot reader. We just had a great time talking about the tarot and stuff. That was really cool. And, of course, we had, a huge major earthquake today in Japan. It was, I think, a 6.8 or something. But when those kind of things happen, it doesn't really shock me, you know. Japan is just, living on so much turbulence, you know. But ordinarily, when there are some major planetary movements, like what just happened, like yesterday with Venus moving into Virgo, a lot of times a major earth planet will shift signs and cause all kinds of chaos and shit, so that doesn't really surprise me. So, and that would actually be happening in Japan's 12th house, which is ruled by Virgo. So that's one thing. Some of the stuff that's going on right now astrologically, you got the sun in Cancer at 24 degrees, the moon is in Leo, between Leo and Virgo, technically. What happens when the moon's void, of course, it means it's between signs. So you might want to pay attention to that. Not make any huge major decisions. Try not to do a radio show. It's too damn bad. You know, that's just the way it is. Doesn't matter what you're planning. The moon void, of course, will probably throw a monkey wrench in there somewhere. And we've got Mercury in Cancer at 4 degrees. And Venus, as I said, just moved into Virgo. I guess about a day ago. So that ought to be interesting for you little Virgos who probably finally get laid. Yay! And if you're starting writing on a book, poetry, getting inspired by photography, anything artistic that has to do with your hands, like as if what doesn't have to do with your hands, but hands are ruled by Virgo in particular, so you may be feeling a lot more creative or maybe a lot more busy than usual. We have Mars in Taurus at 15 degrees. So, again, if you're a Taurus, try to chill out, take a few Xanax like my friend Kevin. Jupiter's in Sag. And actually, we have a call right now, so we'll check that out. Hey, you're with Vox. What's going on?
Hi, Vox.
Hi. What's happening?
Hey. Great show last week.
Great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. So what's going on?
I have two questions. One is related to last week's show, and one is a question regarding my situation.
Okay. And what's your first name?
So, Kathleen.
Okay. Hi there.
Hi.
So let's check it out. And what's your birthday?
And June 4.
Okay.
So and I talked to you once before.
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah.
I remember you. Once you tell me what your first name is, I can usually remember people's voices and stuff.
Yeah, I'm the Mars in Pisces in 7th house trying to kick the habit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you were the one that was getting psychically vampirized.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember you.
Yeah, I just had a question about last week's show, but
sure.
Then I had a regular question for my situation, and I really do need to have you do a reading. I'd love to do it. I have some money coming in later, maybe by the end of July.
That'd be great.
For now, I have a situation, but which one can I ask you first?
Let's get rid of the small one first, maybe last week's question.
Okay, it was fascinating about the tarot, and I've studied astrology, and my question is, because I haven't really done much with Thoth Tarot, and I think I'm going to take one of your classes.
Cool,
maybe
that'd
in
be
the
great.
Fall. And how come it's so accurate? It's because astrology, you can look at the charts, and you can see the patterns, because it's all there. But when you're just randomly pulling a card, I just find it amazing how they turn out to be so tied in with the astrology, and they stem from astrology, right?
Right. Well, they don't originally stem from astrology. That whole system was tacked on a little bit later by different magicians and occultists. In particular, the Golden Dawn were the first people that I can recollect that actually started attributing the zodiacal and planetary attributes to the cards, because nobody had done that before. Actually, one other person right around the time of Eliphas Levi, a little bit before him, was a guy named Gerard Encausse, and he was writing tarot books under the name of Papus, P-A-P-U-S.
Okay.
So you might have seen some of his old books, but those books are incredible. Really
great.
Yeah,
I'll look into it. I love to research that kind of stuff.
But the question, I guess, is why is it so accurate?
Well, yeah, because you'd think when you're just randomly pulling a card that, what is it, like law of attraction, or our energies are just linked up to a certain way, so we're going to pull what we absolutely need to hear. I mean, what is it that makes it work so well?
I personally believe that you attune yourself to whatever the best answer to your question is going to be. That's why even when I pull the cards, it doesn't seem to matter if I pull them, over the phone, over the internet, and then write the reading down, or just even for myself. It just works because you're attracting that, whatever that energy is.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is, there are 78 basic cards in the deck. Crowley added a couple of other ones as well. But in particular, what happens is there are several different cards that could mean the same thing, but in variegated ways. Okay? There's not just one card that says yes or no. That's when people get the book that says, read tarot in 5 minutes, and it's total bullshit. Because there isn't one card that will say yes or no. Okay? There's just not. There's different permutations, So there are several different cards that can mean yes or no based on whatever the question is, and also how the question is phrased. Quite frankly, I tell you, the biggest secret, open secret to reading the tarot is this. Understanding the right question to ask is
right.
The most important part of the reading. Because quite frankly, if you frame the question right and you've looked at all the different angles, sometimes the answer itself will just shoot right into your mind effortlessly without the cards or any other frame of occult reference. You'll just kind of know. Because there have been people that have asked me is he coming back? And the Seven of Cups comes out. And it's like, I would not myself say, yes, he's coming back. But if I felt something about that card when I pulled it, it could mean, yes, he's coming back. But what's the underlying aspect is what really is what the card is all about, Venus and Scorpio, showing, yeah, so what? He'll come back, but so fucking what? He's not going to stay. Or your reason for wanting him back is completely deluded. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because what happens, it's really kind of in the translation.
Yeah.
You can pick up sarcastic overtones in the cards. You can pick up all kinds of bizarre, weird little subconscious references. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to have a baby, but it's going to look like Tiny Tim. It's like what separates the men from the boys, as it were, and the men and the girls from the women, or the pros from the freaks and the complete wannabe clueless idiots who shouldn't even be around a deck of tarot cards, much less counseling somebody with them. You know, so it's actually, there's so much about it, but there's, again, I would say up to 10 cards for any question you might want to have that'll permutate the answer, you know, and into particular degrees. Like, not only, again, like I said, if something is going to happen or not going to happen, and also a subtext that the planets and the zodiac on those cards seem to refer to, you know. It's like, what if you had a client that came in and said, okay, me and my boyfriend, we're so in love, and she pulls like the Eight of Swords. Well, Jupiter in Gemini is not technically a bad planetary aspect, but when you're talking about two people who are supposed to be in love and you're pulling a card that indicates possibility of lies and deception and delusion, what's the real situation that's going on? It's like obviously beyond her awareness. You know what I mean?
So do you need to pull more cards?
Yeah, you'd want to define, like, what the hell is going on. Like, Oh, is she lying to herself, or is her boyfriend lying to her? You know, at that point, then you'd ask your cards, like, all right, well, who's fucking who over? And if you'd say his name first and then her name, and whichever the polarities or the intensities go to, ordinarily the trumps, if you pull a trump, it's not necessarily a good thing, but it can literally, like the word says, it can trump or overpower the other person's card. That may sound kind of, it is kind of actually an advanced thing that we're talking about. So if it went over your head, it wouldn't totally surprise me. But
yeah, well.
But not because you're not smart, but it literally, these subtexts kind of creep up around the edges, you know? And they really do take years to see the, like, the little differentiations between the meanings, you know?
Oh, yeah, and maybe past lives as well, just looking from past life information, just that it's there under the surface.
Yeah, no, the thing is, the thing that I get about past life readings is really kind of interesting, because believe it or not, and this sounds bizarre, but I'm a skeptic. It's almost like I continue to do what I do to just kind of see if it keeps working, and it kind of keeps blowing my fucking mind. You know, but when you're doing like a past life reading, you can't really prove if that stuff is empirically the way that it is. It's not proved on any level, even scientifically, no one's ever been able to prove it. But say if you get those old famous Renaissance feelings and you start doing the thee and the thou and you're totally entranced by some particular time frame in history, it can be something that you're attuned to, but not necessarily because you really lived at that time.
Yeah, or sometimes it's just like there's a natural gift, you know, so like where did that come from? And maybe it doesn't really matter, but some people would be more gifted at tarot, I would think, than just anybody off the street that wanted to learn it. I would think, like, somebody like you is extremely gifted at it.
Thank you.
And of course, you've studied it for a long time, but even if somebody studied it for a long, I mean, like, I'm very artistic. I could do any kind of art without training, but if somebody tried to teach me how to sing, maybe I could get the notes right, but I don't think I'd ever be a great singer.
Yeah, like, I do believe in that there are inherent abilities, and if you act on those inherent abilities and you subject them to levels of discipline over periods of time and repetition, you will no doubt get better at whatever you're trying to do. But it's what they almost call, like, the savant types, and sometimes even the idiot savants, where they can, like, recite the whole phone book, but they don't know how to tie their shoe. You know,
absolutely.
So yeah,
you can, the application.
Yeah, you can totally have these amazing talents, and they can definitely get better. But there are just people, and there are some people that can pick up a tarot deck and just tell you some really interesting things that are not in any book, that may have never even studied it in this lifetime. But again, we can't prove it, so I try to keep it to what I can actually benefit from, because sometimes people wind up getting lost in the past life stuff. And they start obfuscating the present, which is so much more important. I know it sounds weird,
yeah.
But
when I talk to people, when I help them, I have that same philosophy about the past life stuff. Okay, it's like, we're here now.
Yeah, it's like.
But I'd like to learn some more tools. I've got some great tools for helping people, but I really like the tarot stuff that you've been pulling up, and the information that you had last week was really very, very insightful.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you got something out of it. Actually, I had like a really tremendous response from that show, and we were just like ranting, and I think people were like just glued to the internet or the phone or whatever, however they listen, just to find out like these different ideas that nobody really does write about. And I do think as well that it doesn't matter how old you are or whatever, it's pretty much how many readings have you done as well, and how many of them have been accurate. And you just got to keep using it every day. It really does take a lot of practice. And I've memorized every dictionary out there, you know, when I was a little kid. And then I wound up creating my own dictionary of stuff that's not even printed anywhere. And maybe there's stuff even in the Tarot that people may never want to share with anybody. But that's why it takes so long to get this information. And that's, again, why I'm not really interested in magical orders per se, because they kind of like spoon feed you, but they never really link anything. They just, you know, I guess they're just saying, all right, they're going to toss you into the deep end of the ocean and hope you like swim, you know. But there's so many people now that are interested in spiritual aspects, metaphysics, astrology, and all that. And I will say unequivocally that people like Aleister Crowley are like linchpins in that whole movement. Without them, we wouldn't even know each other. You know, they totally opened up the whole idea of Western magic, where people, regular people, could start going, hey, why the hell am I like this? You know, and like, what can I do about it? And what can I, within reason, expect, and then what parts am I going to have to expend more energy to manifest? You know, it's so astrology and numerology and all of these things are not, are their tools, exactly like you said. But I have noticed that a lot of people just kind of coast on them as if they're excuses, like why you're having a shitty day. Well, just because the moon is void of course doesn't mean that all is lost. It just means, you know, we'll just pay attention to what you're doing, you know?
Right. Well, when it's void of course, I just try to do things like reorganize my office, which it badly needs at the moment.
Yeah, but the funny thing too is anything you do doing moon void of course will have to be fixed again. So it's like if you were to like straighten up your office when the moon wasn't void of course, that would be interesting to see what happens, because moon is getting ready to go into Virgo, which rules offices, by the way. So you might want to see what happens if you straighten out your office this time while the moon's direct in the sign of Virgo. Do an experiment.
Yeah. Or just meditate or do nothing, you know. Just
chill out. Chill out. Yeah. Because basically what it means for people out there who don't know anything about astrology, when the moon is void of course, it means it's getting ready to move into the next sign. So it's like kind of floating in between into another region. So anything you try to manifest just pretty much falls off the wall. It's like there's no magnetization going on. It's all kind of in between. So things tend to fall through the cracks, you know. But anyway, yeah. What are some other questions and stuff that you had?
Well, is it a good time to pull some cards when it is void of course.
Here's the deal. You're on the phone now. What the hell? What it will mean, flat out, in my opinion, is that no matter what I tell you, there's going to be some kind of little loose end that's going to tend to change the direction of things either way. So it's kind of interesting.
Because the moon is void of course, or because of the question that I wanted to ask you?
Well, because of both, interesting enough. Like, say, if you were to do a horary astrology question, which means the answer is, the question is answered by virtue of exactly the moment and placement of where every planet and every planet's placement is in the zodiac. So you decided to call, okay? You called, the moon's void of course. Your question, obviously, even without knowing it, cannot be fixed in one question or one answer. Correct?
Probably not. But that's, you know, it's a question that relates to my work. I've had a lot of things that I've put into some things that I created that are very wonderful. I've had a company come to me to get it out in the market in a bigger way, and I'm wondering if they're the best people to go with, or, you know, how I should get it out there in a bigger way.
Now, when did you actually talk to these people about the project?
When? They contacted me, and I'm trying to remember when, but I believe it was earlier this year. And now it's come down to the decision time, or pretty close. And I don't know, you know, it's like I can see other people's situations very clearly, but because of the reservations I have from all the bad stuff I've had happen with relationship issues, not just personal, but interpersonal, just social or business, I'm afraid. So I'm sitting there being like in paralysis analysis and not doing anything.
Right.
Because I don't want to make the wrong decision.
Now, this is interesting. For whatever reason, psychically, I'm picking up that there's a planetary placement that you have in Libra that's causing some of this inability to make a decision. Do you have any planets in Libra?
I do.
Which one is that?
I think it's Neptune, and I'll tell you right now. I was born with, Neptune in Libra.
Yep, there you go.
In the third house. Yeah.
Okay, now that's really interesting, because what that shows, Neptune is the idea of your highest ideals and your dream job and the things that you really completely idealize, not only about yourself, but what you love and how you approach it. And then in the sign of Libra is indecisiveness, okay?
Oh, I know. I've got two Libra parents.
Well, there you go. Interesting.
I watched them. I mean, they're supposed to be the balanced sign. They're the most imbalanced, indecisive.
I don't know. See, that's why I can't wait till my book comes out, because I'm saying that all of the signs, the totems that are used for all of the signs is an inside joke to everything that person does not possess. Okay? That's my thought.
Yeah.
Because Libra is like one of the most imbalanced sign, and the deal is that when is the scale imbalance? Never. Does one molecule equal another? Does one hairdo equal another? Does anything balance out in life, really?
Well, I don't know, but you know, one thing is that there's like the higher vibrational energies of a sign, and then there's the lower ones, and depending on all the other intricacies in a sign, all of the aspects, and how a person wants to move through those things, it seems to me like if you focus on looking at the best outcome, the most positive energy that you can put into it, can't you just work on the higher end of the spectrum rather than the lower end?
Well, it's basically like saying, you know, you can live as long as we take your heart out, but you can't really do that. What I'm saying is, yeah, it all sounds well and good to try to go towards the highest manifestation, but you and I both know that there is no real highest manifestation. There's fluctuation.
Right, and there is.
And there's basically waves. Yeah, you can jump at the right time, but still there's an element that's beyond your control that some people would like to call fate or luck. And I just call it like the 23rd vibration. It's just that mitigating factor, that variable, which is in the tarot signified by the Fool. That in-between place. That just one little extra push can make it to the highest manifestation. So it's a good way to look at something objectively, but it doesn't necessarily mean it works out. Even in my own life, it doesn't matter how psychic I am or how much I know. There is one thing that the universe always knows that I don't. And I think that's what keeps the playing field very equal. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know you. I wouldn't give a fuck about anybody. I'd be probably in my Bel Air apartment somewhere smoking hash, you know, with the Cabana Boys, whatever. But it's the very thing that even the greatest psychic cannot know. It's that God variable.
Right.
And like Richard Dawkins would call it the flying spaghetti monster variable. But it's that one thing that keeps it equal, that keeps life worth living. Because I think if we did know everything that was going to happen, and we could duck every baseball coming to our head or every pie in the face, it's almost like, what's the fucking point of being here?
Exactly.
If we weren't going to learn something.
Yeah.
So it's like, keep your eye on that positive manifestation. But still, even if you can't manifest what you were originally trying for, learn something from it and just got to keep on going forward. But it is a cool way, I think, of just trying to make sense out of reality, if that's what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, all the bad things that ever happened to me, accidents or anything, have always happened when I was in a lower vibrational energy, like stress or tiredness or fear or anger or something, you know,
right.
Something negative. And I would attract, I would become, I will just say, a snit magnet, attracting stuff from everywhere that was negative. And then when I'm, like, working at or just naturally in the place of being in the higher energies of happiness or bliss, peace, joy, whatever, it seems like I'm attracting better things.
Now, the thing is, too, that if you get too hung up on what the idea of happiness is all about, you can also miss a whole bunch of other really important stuff. Because I can't believe I would ever say this, but there's actually more important things in life than necessarily just being happy. You know?
Oh, I agree. Sure.
So even when we have like some of those imbalances and stuff, we can use them, you know what I mean?
Right. They're tools.
But I definitely can appreciate, you know, the idea of trying to stay in the higher manifestation, but we can't always do it. And I got another call right now, so let me see if I can straighten somebody else out. Okay, my friend?
Okay, and I'll look forward to talking to you because I need to go into this in more depth. I just had this one piece, and I thought maybe something would come up, you know, now that would stand out for you.
Well, if I was going to, like, say something right now, it's just, like, coming up as the Nine of Swords and the Ten of Wands, which means to me, like, it's just not the best time to even make a decision about it.
Yeah, that's what it's feeling like. But I'm going to book an appointment with you.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Take care. So anyway, you're the Vox Psychic. Give me a call at 323-284-5166. And if you can't get through, just keep trying. We have a caller, I think, right now. So let's see what's going on. Hey, with Vox, what's happening?
Hi, Vox. This is Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
I called a few weeks ago, and my husband and I have separated.
Right.
And I'm just kind of going through all those separation feelings, you know, like,
right.
No one loves me. I'll never find another guy. I'm going to die alone and old. And I was just kind of wondering if maybe you could see if I'll ever have, like, a romantic life or...
Okay. Now,
Didn't
you also have Mars in Pisces or something?
I believe so.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Because the last lady also had that.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this must be the night to call and figure out what the hell's going on. Now, this is a great question because here's what's happening. The Taurus idea of insecurity is coming out like in spades right about now.
And when did it start?
Like,
I think it started Friday.
Yeah, so actually, you would probably get some vibes about that because Venus just moved signs, and Venus is your planetary ruler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's like, all right, you made this passionate decision while Venus was in Leo, squaring your Venus, and now it's like, all right, what's the practical considerations? And then the subconscious mind, let me show you the example that comes to mind.
Okay.
It's like you just ate the greatest food on the planet, and you just went home and vomited your guts out. And you're like, wait a minute, I just thought that was like really good food what I just ate. Oh, now I'm sick as a dog. And about 5 minutes after you're done vomiting your head off, you're like, oh God, I hope I can still eat chocolate in the future. And it's like, chill out. You're in the process of like getting rid of something. And you need to, like, completely purge it if you can. Now, I do understand how our mind goes, okay, I'll purge, I'll do all the right things, Vox, as long as you just promise me that this will be okay and all this stuff. And the answer,
I mean, it's just been so long since I've been single, and I'm older now, and I've been working out at the gym like crazy, and I'm, like, trying to make myself physically, you know.
Well, don't overdo it because, you know, you don't want to look like Madonna.
Oh, no. I'm not that old.
not only you're not that old, but even if you were, you still don't want to look like Madonna. She just looks like completely worn out.
Yeah, too harsh.
What the hell? But anyway, as far as you're concerned, are you ever getting married again in this lifetime?
No, I'm not married. I just want to like date and have fun.
Don't lie. You're just scared to death to think about marriage now because of this other crap that you just went through. So even if you say you don't want to get married, it's still going to happen anyway.
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like I just want to go out and have fun and
oh, yeah, but I'm not talking
myself.
About right this very second. I can't help how far I can see. You know,
okay.
I try to stick to, like, 2 weeks ahead of time, you know. But according to this, you got the Queen of Discs, the Nine of Swords, and the Ten of Wands. Now, check out how weird this is. When you listen to this podcast next week, you will find out that those are the exact two same cards my last caller received.
Oh, how weird. She was Taurus also?
No, she wasn't a Taurus.
Oh, okay, just Mars and Pisces.
She was a Libra, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, she's a Gemini. She had major planets in Libra. But the thing is that the same exact cards, I put them all back, shuffled them, pulled them completely at random. So it must have something to do with your Mars and Pisces. You know, so if I was to say going out and having fun, the deal is absolutely yes. But you need to keep those people away from your kids. You need to just date. Enjoy yourself and do not talk about anything or anyone to your mother, nor your ex-husband, nor your kids.
Okay.
Now, can you do that?
No, I mean, that's kind of like the plan I had already.
Good, because that's what's coming out. And so the most important thing is just to realize is that, you know, you have to learn how to have fun again.
Yeah, you know? I go out now, and I look younger than I am, but I feel older.
Here's the thing. People think it's about being old or young. It's really not. It's not even really that much about what you look like, shock of shocks. It's about how you act. It's about your persona. It's about your attitude. Otherwise, how the hell did Rosie O'Donnell hook a great piece of cute blonde ass that she's married to? She's a lesbian. She's got an incredibly, insanely beautiful wife. Okay? How the hell did that shit happen? You know, who's banging Barbara Walters? You know, who can figure out why Antonio Banderas is still fucking Melanie Griffith? Who knows? It's not about your looks. Oh, she's going to kill me. But, you know what I'm saying? It's about your attitude. And it's so funny because sometimes we look at people and go, oh my God, how the hell did she get him or vice versa? It's like people, when they're not really good looking, they actually have to work on their personality. So my feeling is even if you attract these really cool guys, which you should be able to do, you're not really fixed yet. And it'll probably take you a while to fix the inside, you know, of your head and of yourself, you know, your attitudes. Because you could attract a really cool guy, but then about 15 minutes into a conversation, you're going to have to be paying attention to what the hell are you talking about? How much are you telling this person? Why does he need to know all this? You know?
Yeah.
Because at Mars and Pisces, you like to unload, you know? It's a garbage truck mentality. Like, oh, I finally find some person who wants to talk to me, who thinks I'm hot. And then you tell them all this crap. You shouldn't tell a priest in a confessional.
Yeah, I tend to spew out stuff, and sometimes I don't even know why I'm saying or why I say it. And it's kind of,
you got to watch that, and that's probably why the ten of wands is coming out, saying chill, date. But you know, you really don't know how to date. You just like are a serial monogamist. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't do very well at it before then.
No, but the thing is that Tauruses, they don't like to date. They don't like it. They like to get presents and chocolate and all that cool stuff, but they don't really like to emotionally attach, then disattach, emotionally attach, disattach. They don't like that.
Okay, that's true.
You know, and at that point, even if they had two boyfriends going on at the same time, you know, they would always be judging one against the other. And if they had three boyfriends, they would dump the third one to still go back and play games with the other two. You know, because you're trying to find the best option. But I'm saying the danger is not that you won't find anybody, but that you will find people that will really be into you, and you can sabotage it mentally by telling them shit they don't need to know.
But so should I just try to say as little as possible?
Yeah, for right now. If they go, oh, so tell me about you. Go, oh, no, enough about me, but what about you? Because you already know how you feel. Screw how you feel. You're already in there. When people try to like pick my brain and try to figure out what the hell I'm thinking, it's just not going to happen. I just don't go there. I'm like, no, what about you? You know? So that's something that you definitely want to clarify. Now, there could be some psychologists listening out there. I have a lot of psychology fans out there who might say, oh, no, that's not good because you need to be yourself. Well, my response to that is, this sounds really
weird.
Yeah,
no, they don't know me, especially if I can say as little as possible.
Yeah, it's like, the deal is like you're giving them too much like information, stuff that they don't need to know, that they may judge you on unfairly before they figure out the rest of your personality. You know? So you want to keep them there and intrigued and interested and upbeat and not necessarily hiding all these evil secrets in your past. No, it's not about that. It's like, hey, I just want to have a good time right now. But the thing is, most guys realize that women that say that are full of shit. Because women are just pretty much, I hate to sound so ridiculous, like creationist or something, but women just seem to be born with this subconscious tendency to think that they have to get married or have to be in a relationship or have to have kids or have to this or have to that. And it's kind of physiological, I hate to say it, but it just seems like that's one of the things that we have to deal with as women. So if a guy thinks that you're just like being really well adjusted, he won't trust it. It's like, oh, yeah, she just wants to be normal. I mean, if Angelina Jolie says she doesn't want to marry Brad Pitt, what does that make you think? That she's really intelligent or that she's fucking got problems with security issues?
I think commitment issues.
Exactly. But, you know, anybody else could say, oh, no, but she's so beautiful. She could have anybody she wants. And now she's got, like, one of the handsomest guys on the planet. So what is her problem now? You know? So it really is about knowing yourself, dealing with your issues, keeping your kids out of it, and knowing for a fact your husband will probably be trying to skulk around and find out everything and anything about whoever you're dating or fucking or whatever. And, you know, until he gets weaned off of you, and you get weaned off of him, and you learn how to control your speech and control your emotions, which will take time, okay, then you can have some up and down moments there. And that's why that Ten of Wands comes out, not to say, no, you will never get it, or it will take forever, but like, hold on a minute, wait a second, you know, let's think about this, let's take small steps. And sometimes in the rush to, you know, fill the hole, we'll just eat anything, you know. You could be on a diet and all of a sudden your blood sugar drops and boom, you're going to eat a whole box of donuts. You know, the same thing happens in relationships. All of a sudden there's this hole, you know, and it's actually a good hole.
Yeah, I feel like I just want to go out and not necessarily fuck somebody, but maybe, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're allowed to do that. But obviously in your case, you have to be a lot more careful.
Yeah.
I mean, I even warned your soon-to-be ex-husband, yeah, go ahead, have some sexual healing, whatever you want to call it, but please, dear God in heaven, you know, be sensible about it and don't attract, like, a mistake or an unwanted pregnancy or STD or things like that, just in the mad rush to feel somebody hold you again that you feel like fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is all, it's all well and good me telling you, and it's like reading a diet on a page, and then the other thing is putting it into action as a whole other monster.
Okay. Well, my main concern is if I could even, like, attract people if I were to go out and stuff like
you can totally attract people. Now, if you can get them to go out with you more than two times after you tell them the whole crazy story, probably not.
So, yeah, I wasn't thinking of really telling people a whole lot of details.
Yeah, now, that's the deal. You go
also,
out and have
a dream. Venus is in Gemini.
Okay, that right there, that's more than one marriage right there. Forget it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I always hate to tell
people. I don't feel like I want to get married. And I believe what you're saying. I just am so, like, right now with that whole marriage thing.
Well, you know, you shouldn't believe that you're going to get married again. You shouldn't believe it because it puts too much pressure on the reality to manifest. Just go, yeah, she said, whatever. Now, you guess who else has Venus in Gemini?
Who?
David Beckham.
Really, he's
now, now, let's think about it. He's a Taurus. Doo, 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 doo.
Oh, he's a Taurus also?
Yeah. Uh-oh. I've created a monster.
And he's in LA now.
Now, here's the deal. He's married to Victoria Beckham. She's like a super alpha female, Aries person. Okay. Now, I forget where her Venus is, but her Venus is trining his Mars. Okay. But the deal is this. No matter how much he loves her, it doesn't matter if they have 2,000 kids together, they will not stay together. Period. It just
well, I know he already had, like, an affair go public with him.
See, now, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, this was, like, and then he bought her, like, some ginormous diamond ring. This was, like, maybe 5 years ago or something. One of his affairs went public.
Well, there you go.
I do a lot of reading with the astrology, and I see how that Venus and Gemini
it
can be challenging.
Does. It just does, because it just makes a person fall in love with somebody else for play. You know, like, even when you were with your husband, I mean, this could be a dangerous territory, but there's no way, and you do not have to admit this on the air, I'm just going to tell you that there would have at least been a couple of times that you were fantasizing about somebody else.
Yeah, but I didn't. And I took, I mean, there's times where I wanted to, I'm not going to lie, there's times where I just want to go out and...
Right, but see, here's the deal.
Somebody, but I didn't because, I mean, I have a lot of self-control, and I didn't want to be a person who cheated.
Right. And that's the Taurus energy, and same thing with David Beckham. But Venus and Gemini, sooner or later, forget it. You're going to have more than one marriage. It's just the way it is. And that's even if you just say, screw it, I'm just going to live with somebody for 80 years, but we're not technically going to go get married. You're still married. Marriage is not about a piece of paper, as a lot of gay people would tell you. It's about, like, an emotional and mental commitment to somebody. So that the fact that you have Venus and Gemini, you know, that would have probably been why I would have had reservations about your marriage, no matter how much I liked your husband. you know, or wanted you guys to be happy with each other. At that point, that's when you realize the client has to go through whatever it is they have to go through to understand what you're talking about, or it could just be their fate or karma that you can't displace or change in any way. You know what I mean? So those are, that's one aspect of that. But anyway, I think, I'm not sure if she's on there. She might have got disconnected or accidentally hit the wrong button. I know I didn't. So we have another call. I think we'll see what's happening. But anyway, we're talking with Vanessa, and I guess Skype is bugging out, I've been told, by Mr. B, the engineer. And so, Vanessa, if you're out there, I didn't hang up on you, but give me a call back. We'll work it out. But anyway, we've been talking with two different people today who have Mars and Pisces, and they're both going through like really intense, challenging times where they want to believe, you know, something good's going to happen. But that Pisces thing, it's like, I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a good idea. So a lot of times Mars and Pisces too also has a lot of intuitive ability. At that point, you can always call me and see what I have to say. Give me a call at 323-284-5166. And we'll see what's going on. But we were talking a little bit about David Beckham. Which next week, maybe what I'll do is I'll just do their whole chart and stuff. Like, find out where all his planets are and Victoria Beckham's as well. I think her last name used to be Adams or something. Former Spice Girl. But I've heard her in some interviews recently. She's actually pretty funny, I think. You know, what do I know? And David Beckham, I'm definitely going to go watch him play. I do love soccer. My boyfriend's Brazilian, so we love soccer. So that'll be kind of fun to see what happens with that. But, yeah, I didn't even know that he had had an affair. Wow. Where was I? But I guess if you're looking like David Beckham, this thing could happen. And we got another caller. Let's see who's up. Hey, you're the Vox.
Hi, Vox.
Hi.
Hi, it just hung up on me.
No, I think the Skype thing just went out on your computer or something. It just, on our computer then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I know we were talking about the Venus and Gemini and whether I'd ever cheated or not. And I don't know how far I got, but
I said you you physically didn't, but like I said, even so, it's this sounds really lame ass, but even in the Bible it says that if you lust in your heart, it's the same damn thing. But Venus and Gemini will definitely do it to you. And Gemini is ruled by Mercury, which is also like about the duality factor. And Venus herself, now how faithful was that little bitch? Like, not. Okay, now this cracks me up, okay? I have a book coming out on this bizarre topic, one of three zillion of them. But did you ever hear about that book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus?
Uh-huh.
What a load of crap, okay? Because here's the deal. It doesn't matter about Mars and Venus. Mars was not married to Venus. Vulcan was married to Venus. So what's the fucking deal? You know, it should be Men Are From Vulcan, you know?
It's not that catchy.
You know, so I'm like, what the hell? You know, Venus is always cheating on Mars. I mean, and she was cheating on her husband as well. What the hell were they expecting? She had kids with quite a few different gods. So we have Venus, who's just supposedly, you know, earthy, ruling Taurus and all this crap. But remember, Venus also rules Libra, which is indecisiveness.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I feel like sometimes, well, when I dated, that my emotions were flighty, you know, one moment I really like somebody and then like the next morning I just didn't like them at all and
yeah.
I didn't care and that was it. It was done. And now I kind of feel like karmically maybe now that I'm single again, that stuff's going to come back at me.
No, you have to forget that aspect of karma. You just have to.
Good.
Yeah, not because I said so, but it would probably be better for you if you just believed in what I'm telling you enough to just do it for that reason.
Okay, because I was kind of thinking about it the other day. I've just kind of been insensitive to maybe some of the affection people had towards me.
Nah.
And that's kind of like, oh crap, I hope it doesn't come back to get me now.
No, I know this sounds weird, but the universe isn't like that.
Oh,
the universe doesn't have that kind of personal consciousness. It's very much like if you are in the right, as I say, right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, it doesn't fucking matter. Okay? Only the positive aspect of plus itself equals a plus. Plus plus minus is not a plus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, how do I put this? damn, I actually don't know how to put this. Just, let me send it on some psychic wave. The most important thing to recognize, though, is that Venus is going to play around. Gemini is definitely going to play around. So when you got Venus and Gemini, you got that times four. Plus, also, you had your Mars and Pisces. You had a lot of dual planetary aspects there.
I know I have something else in Gemini.
Oh, which one is that?
I thought it was Mars.
I thought your Mars was in Pisces. Mars can only be in one sign at a time.
Hold on, I have it written down right here.
See if we can find out.
I know for sure I have two in... I know for sure I have two in Gemini.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then along with your other dual sign...
There it is. I have Mercury in Gemini.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
Mercury and Venus in Gemini and Mars in Pisces.
That's totally crazy.
Is it?
That's totally crazy.
What does it mean?
Oh, God, I could get sued for telling you what this means.
Sued? Is that what you said?
Probably. Yeah, you might have to read the forum post. Oh, my God. But it's also going to show with those planetary aspects, especially if they're conjunct. Are they conjunct?
I don't know what that means.
What are the degrees of those planets?
Mercury in Gemini is 4.41.
Yeah.
And then Venus in Gemini is 27.04.
Okay, thank God you're safe. So you're not bisexual. Yay!
Oh, no, I'm not. I really like men.
Yeah, trust me, if those were conjunct or like within six degrees of an orb to one another, you'd be like swinging both ways.
Yeah, which would have been the enemy because I had enough trouble with men alone. If women would have gotten the mix, forget it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it sounds to me like you should be like... Oh, stalking David Beckham. I'm so evil. It's going to be so funny if you ever did that. But you should definitely, obviously you should check out this kind of stuff that happens in his life, because there's no doubt in my mind that you guys will share some kind of weird affinity for strange situations, you know, which is why in astrology books, it tells you however other celebrities have the same planetary aspects or, Nelson Rockefeller had Mercury in Cancer, So you can look at that person's life and kind of see the mercurial influence.
Well, I've read some, and some say what it is to have Venus in Gemini, which wasn't good. And they'll say what it is to have Mercury in Gemini. But they really don't say what it is to have both in Gemini,
It's like a double whammy. It's like... anytime you have more than one planet in the same sign, even if they're not exactly like real close to each other, it's going to intensify it. You can imagine that it's like a flavor, that Gemini is a flavor. And if you had three planets there, it's going to be very orangey tasting. If you have some other planetary flavors, you put them together and they just don't mix. There's aspects of astrology that I actually teach that way based on touch and flavors and smells. Because I can actually smell how a planetary aspect, is perceived. It's like very bizarre. That's why sometimes people say their birthday and I'll just go, oh my God, I just either hate it or I love it or whatever.
I just kind of thought my saving grace was having Sun and Taurus to kind of ground me with all the Gemini and all this other stuff.
Yeah, actually it does, thank God. But the deal is it's still, Venus, and you have two planets there, so it's going to be kind of tough. Hey, I gotta let you go right now.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Take care, my friend.
Okay.
Hey, you're with Vox. What's going on?
Hey, Vox, this is Heather.
Hey, Heather, what's going on?
Not much, how are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. So how can I help you today?
Well, I want to say something real quick, but also I called about my husband's chart. Maybe you can look at it.
Oh, yeah, I actually haven't had a chance to view it. Did you send it in the post on the forum?
Yeah, I did.
Because I went through the form and stuff, and I haven't had a chance to actually, break it down. But maybe we could do something kind of quick over the phone is fine.
Okay, that would be cool. So I just wanted to tell you I finally quit my job on Friday.
Yay! Wow. Yeah. So Venus was pretty much around 29 degrees Leo at that time. So you pretty much had it over your head, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I should have done it a long time ago, but it was like, the final straw, I guess.
Yeah, well, whatever you do, don't try to, beat yourself up if things don't, flow immediately.
No, I understand that. I don't even have any prospects about what's happening next, so
okay.
I'm just going to go with the flow and see what happens.
Okay, so what can I help you with right now?
Do you want to look at Dan's chart?
Let's check it out. Now, are you on the computer or on the phone?
I'm on the phone. It's on speaker.
Okay.
So sorry if you can't hear
it.
Yeah,
you might want to like take it off the speaker because it's kind of warbling. And we'll see what's happening. Now, what's his birthday? Uh-oh. She hit the wrong button. It wasn't me. See, but I told you before the show started, I said moon's void, of course. So I told you. And this kind of stuff never happens. It's not even my fault. But maybe Heather will call us back. Hopefully she won't think that we were just hanging up on her poor husband over there. Let's see what's up. Maybe that's her right now. Hey, you're the Vox. What's going on?
Hi. I don't know how to use my phone.
I can see that.
Okay. So I'm off speaker.
Now, wasn't your husband, isn't he a Virgo?
Yeah, he's 8/28/80.
Okay. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, Mars just entered Virgo. No, wait, Mars didn't. Venus did. Just switched over, so it's 0 degrees. So he's about to go through all kinds of crazy stuff right about now. And there should actually be some good opportunities coming up in his part of the woods, even if they're not necessarily in your part of the woods just yet.
Yeah, I agree with that assumption. It seems like that will happen. So
what can I help you with? You want to check out his chart? Do you have?
Yeah, do you want to just look at it real quick? Look at all its placements.
Well, if you have it in front of you, it will be a lot easier for me.
Okay, I can just tell you.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what his rising sign is because what I put in AM instead of PM, and I don't know. But
that's actually hugely important because without that, you can't really. You can basically say what kind of qualities a person has, but not in the degree, in the way in which they're going to be acted upon. So see if you can find that out, and that would be helpful. But what are his basic planetary aspects?
He's got Sun in Virgo, Moon in Aries.
Uh-oh, that's tough. Because that's already, he's going to be a fuss budget.
A what?
A fuss budget.
Yeah.
Fussy. Nothing's ever perfect enough. And that's actually good for an artist, but it's hard for him to finish things with that aspect.
Yeah, he's a definite perfectionist.
You know, and sometimes, you know, what happens with perfectionists, you know, it turns into procrastination. P starts with procrastination. P, you know, starts with the same kind of thing, you know, perfectionism. So you can wind up using perfectionism as a method for never finishing anything. It's like almost a psychological thing. So hopefully he can deal with that in this lifetime, you know.
Yeah. I think he's dealing with that. He's aware of that and everything. So.
Yeah. I see, but again, being aware of it and doing something, they're hard. It's hard to do. You know, just because we know what we're like doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to fix it, but that's where we want to put our focus on trying to, manifest positive changes and balancing out those parts of our chart that show difficulties, you know, because it's not necessarily bad at all, you know, but where's his Mercury?
Virgo.
Okay, so that's going to, I don't know if you heard my last caller, but every time you have a planet in the same sign, where any signs are shared, it's going to intensify whatever the doubled sign is. So that's going to make him a double Virgo. So he outwardly, I mean, depending on what his rising sign, which we don't know, he would tend to look like whatever his rising sign is. But since we don't know, we can't say. But his sun and his Mercury means like he's going to have a very particular Virgo-esque personality, fuzzy, analytical, artistic, capable, responsible, and his mind works that way as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, since Mercury's in Virgo, and Mercury also rules Virgo, anytime Mercury's retrograde, he'll be seriously affected by it, unless he has any Mercury retrogrades himself.
Yeah.
You know? And where's his Venus?
Cancer.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a nice little thing right there because that makes him approachable and like his hard exterior can be broken down. So that is kind of nice. Now, the problem for him, though, since he has the moon in Aries, now let's think about this. Moon in Aries is going to be squaring his Venus in Aries. Okay. So his Mars and Venus are squared. Okay.
Venus in Cancer?
Yeah.
Venus in Cancer? Okay.
Venus in Cancer is squaring his moon in Aries. And remember, the moon is the actual ruler of Cancer. So it's called like a mutual reception, I believe they call it. So it puts him at odds with his own feelings.
Yeah.
You know, he's like fighting against himself, you know, but for what? So again, those are things that kind of like exasperate him and wear him down emotionally over stuff that's really not that big of a fucking deal.
Uh-huh.
You know? Now, does he really have problems trying to decide what he's going to eat in the restaurant, or he just goes and orders the same old shit every time?
He orders the same shit every time.
Okay, that's the Virgo coming out. But the funny thing is his moon in Aries squaring his Mars in Cancer is like kind of crazy, because he will still read the menu. Okay?
Yes.
He will read the fucking 20-page.
Forever to decide.
Yeah, and then he'll order mac and cheese.
He'll read it five times.
Exactly. You see how well I know my astrology? I mean, if you can't use astrology for mundane shit, what's the point? You know, but you can actually learn a lot about where a person's moon is by checking out what they eat whenever they go to the restaurant. So that's kind of funny. But also Mars in Cancer makes him very intuitive. It kind
Venus in Cancer and
Venus
Mars
in Cancer.
Libra.
Yeah, but I was okay. So I'm Venus in Cancer instead of Mars in Cancer. But still,
Mars
the Venus
Libra.
And the he's got Mars in Libra.
Yeah,
that's going to make things a little bit tough for him in the sense of trying to make a decision. Again, can you see how he's a great guy, but every single planetary aspect seems to make it more and more difficult to make the simplest decision?
Yeah.
And so then he gets paralyzed, and then he says, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he's got patience, but he needs to, like, make more definitive movements in his life. Even if they are ultimately considered mistakes, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody with the Sun and Mercury and Virgo, they don't like mistakes very much.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because he's, like, just about to take a new job that he's been putting off taking that he could totally get, but he's going to finally take it. So
I think he should take it.
Decision.
I would suggest that he take it. He's got the Nine of Cups and the Six of Swords.
Sweet.
So how far does he have to drive?
Oh, it's not far. It's like 20 minutes.
Well, good, because for some weird reason, the Six of Swords is saying he just needs to move on. But there are still sometimes some kind of weird excuse that he might have for not really wanting to take it. But he should, in my opinion, just looking at his cards here, I would suggest that he takes it.
Okay, cool.
You know? And where's his Jupiter?
Virgo.
Okay. So again, see, now he's got three planets in Virgo.
Uh-huh.
And the Jupiter in Virgo is really good for writing and publishing and internet stuff. So what's he doing right now?
Cool. Yeah, he's a good writer. He writes a lot of poems, and he's just a computer nerd in general. He fucks around online a lot. So I don't know. He's varied in that.
Well, he should, with the Jupiter in Virgo, he's going to have more success with taking care of his business, okay? In other words, any creative stuff that he can do, if he will start marketing the things that he enjoys to do a lot more, like even getting into web design, anything to do with the internet, writing, publishing, games, anything of a kind of a puzzle nature, he can make some serious money at. And since he's got the Sun and Mercury there, you know, it's really good placement for that. That's kind of nice. And where's his Saturn?
Virgo.
Okay. Now that's going to make things a little bit too intense. Once you start getting more than three, obviously you have a stellium.
Uh-huh.
The Saturn in Virgo makes him, again, that's where he starts procrastinating again. Like everything means so much that he gets paralyzed.
Uh-huh.
You know, does he have stomach problems or what?
Does he have what?
Stomach or abdominal problems? Digestive problems?
No, he had testicular cancer, though.
Okay, because the reason I bring that up is when you have Saturn in Virgo, Virgo rules the intestines and some of the lower parts of the intestinal wall in the abdomen, most areas of it. And Saturn there usually indicates at some point in life that's where the door of death can open up in a person's chart, like, or the opportunity to get ill or seriously sick. So
that makes sense, because he drinks like a 12-pack of Mountain Dew a day.
Yeah, And drinking, that habit right there would tend to come more from his Venus in Cancer. Venus in Cancer can make you kind of, like, again, lazy and longing for liquids and sugary sweet stuff, you know, things like that. But hopefully he'll start recognizing that in his chart, wherever Saturn is, that's where, you know, your negative flaws can start to, like, leak and create some serious situations that you ultimately have to deal with. But that's not necessarily a death sentence. A whole generation of people has Saturn in Virgo. You know, but again, that is something that you have to pay attention to. And where is his Pluto? Actually, no, where's his Uranus?
Scorpio.
Okay. And Uranus and Scorpio. He would have had an affliction to his Uranus to have testicular cancer. Scorpio specifically rules the genitals, specifically. And it would have probably happened overnight.
Yeah, it did. Went from nothing to, like, half a tennis ball within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally crazy.
Or 3 weeks.
So he's very lucky that he actually got past that, because Saturn, in that same area of the body as Uranus, those are two malefic planets, you know, can make a real serious challenge. But I'm glad to hear that he got past that.
Yeah, he did. He was very optimistic.
And where's his Neptune?
Sagittarius.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, on that level, a lot of people with Neptune and Sagittarius would do really well to, again, get involved in the arts, do a lot of traveling, get into different mindsets. Getting even into meditation would really be very helpful for him in this lifetime, if he can get into that.
Yeah, it definitely has been.
And his Pluto is where?
Libra.
Pluto and Libra. Okay, so he's got Neptune. Oh, wait, he's got Neptune where?
Sagittarius
and Pluto in Libra. What else did he have in Libra?
Mars.
Okay, so Pluto and Mars in Libra can indicate really explosive relationships and karmic relationships that he has to pay attention to.
Yeah, they told me the same thing.
What, he told you?
Huh?
Did he tell you that?
No, you told me that same thing, but the quintuple Scorpio and then something else, I can't remember.
Yeah, because it's always going to be learning how to have a good relationship with someone. And he can wind up as well, if he's not paying attention, to having lawsuits. So he has to pay attention to that as well. So it's not like a doom and a gloom thing. It's just different times in his life when he has certain aspects or transits that activate those places. So what you want to do for me next time is try to get his rising sign, and we'll see what we can do and find out where those planets and their zodiac signs are, so we can see what's happening.
Okay.
But then we got one last caller over here, so.
Okay. Well, thanks for checking that out for us.
Okay. Take care, my friend.
Okay,
many blessings. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So you've been with Vox the Psychic, and I just want to finish a couple little things real quick before we have to go. And I'd like to thank all my callers for, you know, having the faith and trust in me to try to guide them with sensibility. I think we were ending, we had said we had Jupiter in Sag, we still have Saturn in Leo, Uranus is still in Pisces, Neptune's in Aquarius, and Pluto's in Sagittarius. And let's see, we got we just had the new moon in Cancer last Saturday, so that's really nice. And Venus just moved into Virgo, so that should be really nice for all you little Virgos out there. Maybe not so fun for the Pisces. And what else we got going on? Basically, those are the most important things right now. And Venus will be in Virgo till August 8th, and Mars is going to be in Taurus till August 9th. So I'm going to check one more caller. Hey, with Vox, what's going on?
Hey, it's Stan. I'm surprised you're going to actually answer.
Yeah.
I ended up hitting a wall. I wasn't going to call you tonight because, you know, our interaction over the week, we kind of talked a bit.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, you know, it's just weird. You said something a couple weeks ago, not just about your spiders, but I've had spiders myself. I've never had these spiders, and I'm kind of getting invaded. I haven't been bit, but they're surrounding. They're brown spiders that are round like a widow. They weave like a widow, too, but they're not widows.
Weird.
And so it's kind of strange, just throwing that one at you. And then another thing that you said is check yourself into the mental institution if you've seen the spirit. And I've actually seen a ghost once when I was a kid, and it was a tangible being doing a tangible thing, and it was sitting on a bed. And it kind of bothers me when I think about it, because I don't know anybody else who's actually seen a ghost or actually visualized a tangible being.
Well,
that wasn't there. I mean, this person wasn't there, and I saw it, and it stopped me in my tracks, and it still relives that whole experience when I go to tell somebody else about it.
Well, I can only tell you what I know. Okay,
no,
from my own perspective, is that you don't see ghosts with your eyes. Even if you think that that's what you're seeing them with, you're seeing them definitely with your astral vision. That's what I meant to say. Is like, if you really see them and you start touching them and they touch you back and la la la, you should check yourself in.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I have bumped into a few people that I would believe them when they tell me they physically saw one. But by the time you can physically have it. Physical interaction with a ghost, you yourself might be in a very weird space where you could be between doors, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, like, I don't like to say it's a prophecy of a person's death, but I will guarantee you're about to do something, or something's about to impinge on your reality. Of something like that. That's why I said check yourself in, you know. But seeing them, I've seen them since I was a little kid. I was like, oh yeah, sure, there they are. But nobody else could see them. But later on, I realized I wasn't seeing them with my eyes. I was seeing them
with
my perception. So thank God you're not totally crazy.
No, how about this, though? Have you ever seen, I'm just throwing one out there for
you.
Yeah,
sure.
Softball, have you ever seen a physical interaction from a third eye being doing something from the astral plane with something on the physical plane?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
That I have.
That's good. That makes me feel much better.
So we're both only pseudo-crazy.
Right, we're both crazy. Yeah, exactly.
Now,
it's a weak moon, so it was real. It was a veil breaking.
Now, I will say that there's something, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. But there have been people that I know what they're like, and I know what to expect when I bump into them. And I know that I might not even like to bump into that person. So if I wind up seeing somebody that I don't like that has negative energy, I will send my own energy over their head and kind of just like encapsulate them with my non-bullshit device.
Sure,
To kind of chill them out. It doesn't always work. Okay, in some horrible experience. Once in a great while, it won't work. That's because a person is just completely off their rocker. But and I can usually see.
Or likewise, it's not their time.
Exactly.
They're there for a purpose. You called me here. Now you got to do something more than just throw me some little bit of energy. You know what I mean? It's not so much something you've got to do or something they've got to do. Maybe it's just a sense of that presence rolling around in your head and not responding. So then that next negativity or negative person or whatever it is that you just don't like comes along. Now you've pushed it away. And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
That
I just try to,
that you're going to go through.
I create like what I call like a magical buffer zone where,
sure.
You know, okay, that, in other words, I don't send anything negative to that person. I just send almost like a null spongy energy. That's just kind of indifferent, you know, just to kind of like nullify that so I can get past it without having to deal with negativity. And it makes
much nicer than me.
Yeah,
I give them love. Oh, you
oh, fuck that.
Or you say nothing.
Fuck that.
Love.
No, fucking
never,
whatever.
Huh?
Nope, don't do it. I fell for that shit before. That's why I'm a Thelemite now. If people are Christians.
Sure, and it pulls you in.
If you're Christian and if you're going for the Buddha love motif, and that is your will, then I completely like respect whatever person's personal method of dealing with that shit. But I can't do it. I tried that shit and it doesn't work for me. You know, so what I do is I just will my own like magnetic field to go into a place that's going to feel good for me, you know, because I hate to say this. I just know people too well. I just know them too well. And I actually wish sometimes that I didn't, but I do. And so here's the problem that I have that a lot of other people may also share. If you are spiritual and if you are knowledgeable, that doesn't fix a goddamn thing. In fact, the onus and the responsibility for positive change is up to the person who has the consciousness level that's a little higher.
Yeah.
And it's like,
gotcha.
It's fucking annoying. sounds like you have to be the bigger person. But you don't have to drain yourself with love and pity and compassion. What you can do is say, you know what? If you recognize that the idea of compassion is another form of egotism, then you will be freed of it. It's like, oh,
sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
It is another sense of ego. It is another sense of egotism.
It's like, oh, you're beneath me.
You're feeling from a higher place down to them.
Exactly. You're feeling down. But in the Crowleyan method of Thelema, if you recognize somebody's an asshole, he's maybe not an asshole to the people who know him and love him, but for some reason your magnetic fields get fucked up and he pisses you off and makes you want to knock him out with a skillet over his head. So who's right and who's wrong? At that point, that's why people like Crowley say there is no good, there is no evil. Not because there isn't, but it's not about people. It's about combinations of people that can, you know, exacerbate one another. So if you are the higher knowledgeable person, you say, you know what? I recognize that this person makes me ill. It's very important for him to be able to unfold in his own reality without me manipulating him. So I'm going to just go over here and try to be myself. And the buffer that I send over that person is just like a momentary, like a piece of rubber, just so I can get past that person without creating negativity in his life about my attitude. And by the way, how do I know he's not more superior to me? I don't.
On some level, sure. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't play that game, right?
In the book of the law, it says, you know, beware lest thou meet a king, you know, but then thou canst not hurt him. You know?
It's like, I was thinking the same thing. A beggar's never going to be a king unless they're a fool. And they'll reveal themselves in their true nature.
Exactly.
Right? But a true beggar will never be a king. So why waste your time with the common fool? Right.
Well, I mean, it's not even so much that not to waste your time with him, but if a certain kind of person has a particular negative effect on you, whether or not they're trying to or not, and you are affected in a negative way, you owe it to yourself to get away from that person. Okay, like when some people, you know, write to me or call me for like a spell or magical ritual to like attack someone or get rid of someone or give somebody a bad day.
Sure.
I say, you know what? Why wouldn't you rather do a ritual to give yourself a great day and save your energy and not use any of that energy to change that other person's reality?
Right.
You
no,
understand?
It's about you. Why not change your reality? Why mess around with somebody else's? Absolutely.
But if you have to walk past somebody that's really going to vibe you negatively, I just say it's okay to put the little sponge over their head and just try to get away from them as quickly as possible. You know, it's the law of the wild. You know, crocodiles aren't evil, but if I like dance my little ass in their pool and they take a chomp out of my ass, is it my fault or the crocodiles?
No. Yeah. Gotcha.
You know,
very nice
saying?
Parable.
Yeah. So no, you're not crazy.
No,
far from
good.
It. But these are
No, it was just weird. What's with the spiders? Did you get rid of your spiders yet?
I did. Well, no, I didn't
good.
Even do that. I just kind of willed them away, and I got some screens. Surprise! As
gotcha.
Crowley always said, if you really want to make some money, go get a job. If you really want to
Understood.
Magically get...
If you want to keep out spiders, put up a screen.
Exactly.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Well, good.
The method of least resistance.
I just thought it was odd that I've had this weird infestation, and there was the spiritual aspect, and then I got a good Crowley lesson tonight. Yeah, no, you're right on the money, and it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you too, my friend, and keep up the good posts and stuff.
Yeah, no, I love that one. That was so great. I love your horror and the supernatural.
Yes.
Check it out. Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Dedicated to you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. I'll try to post something up there that's a little less artsy and a little more smartsy.
Okay, my friend. Take care, and it's great talking to you.
93. Talk to you soon, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we were going to try, hopefully, to talk to my friend who made the Abbey of Thelema film, Vincent Jennings, but he may not have been able to get through. He's in Mississippi right now. So I'm going to end the show for tonight. But anyway, just letting you know, you can always reach me at 323-782-0222 and schedule an actual personal private psychic reading with me. And now I'm offering the opportunity to record your readings and have them sent to you so you can listen to them on your iPod and CDs. So contact me about that. You can also post stuff in my forum at vox.org/forum. You can write to me at MySpace, myspace.com/Vox the Psychic, all one word, VoxTheePsychic. Check out my blog at Vox.org. And what else can I tell you? I have no idea. But oh yeah, a lot of people are writing about classes, so that's cool. And you can just write to me at Vox@Vox.org to find about classes, or just go on to my blog and sign up. And anyway, so you kind of know what's going on astrologically, and hopefully just keep your head together and until Mercury goes completely direct on the 25th. But in the meantime, I'm wishing you guys to have a great day, and in fact, have a mystical, magical day. Bye.